I realized I wasn't very good at wanting him to return. And I wanted to be better at it. And so, you know, I tried to just spend time with him, really adoring him at like the onset of the pandemic. You know, I was just kind of one of those people at home going, okay, it's the apocalypse. Time to buy a shotgun and stock up on Cocoa Pebbles and just... I let you in a little too deep. Sorry, I'm going back. okay, but, you know, I just wanted to be better at it. And then I remember, like, last year my record label said to me, hey, you should go on TikTok. And I said, well, I'm not 12 and I don't dance, but okay, you know. So I went on. And I started just sharing the gospel, started just sharing Jesus and not selling anything, you know what I mean? Not being like, check out this, check out that. No, it was just all about him, you know? And I put this song on it, and overnight it went, you know, like viral, whatever. And it's not about that. Please hear me. It's really not. Because of that, it opened up the opportunity for me to start going live on this platform. And I started hitting Facebook Live a little heavier too, just with the gospel, just worshiping Jesus and asking people if they want to give their life to him. I remember the first time I did it on here last September, because I've done it, you know, traveling for years. But in this environment, I was like, okay, does anybody on here want to give your life to Jesus? And somebody said yes. So I prayed with them, connected them in an email, and tried to get them connected to a church, all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow, this is awesome. The next night, 10 people. I was like, oh my goodness, okay. The next night, 50 people. Now, as of today, since September of last year, we have seen 30,000 people come to Jesus. And it's not about me. It's not about a song per se. It's about, man, in us, in the bride, y'all, there is a longing for Jesus to return that is supposed to be awakened. You know what I mean? Not this like, take me out of here. This place is terrible kind of a thing. Not that, you know, because it's actually to be so heavenly minded is to be more earthly good, right? Not the opposite. It's to like love people better. It's to build things here that actually matter. You know what I mean? And I realized, I was reading Revelation 22, 17. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Think about that. The Spirit of God is longing for Jesus to return. So it's obviously something he wants than I wanted to, right? Every real revival, it has a couple of things attached to it, I believe. One is people are coming to Jesus like they are here at this church, by the way. And there's a longing for the return of Jesus that makes you love people, like I said, better. It makes you want to build things towards his return. Things that actually begin to matter. You stop trying to build a brand. You stop trying to build a business. You start building his kingdom, right? So right now, Jesus, we ask that you would just well up in everyone in this room, in every family in this room, in every home in this room, in this church right now, a deep longing for you to return. To get our heads, like it says in Colossians 3, our minds seated above where you, Lord, where you are, our minds set above where you are throned as king, and to see from your perspective and to long for you to return, for that Revelation 21 where it says there'll be no more mourning, no more crying, no more death, for the old order of things have passed. Because you are now God. There's no more sun. You're the light. It's you, only you, Jesus. We want this, and we cry out with heaven, with all the saints, with the angels, and we say, come, Jesus, come. Sometimes I fall. To my knees and pray, come, Jesus, come. Let today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on.
Sing it with y'all.
There'll be no
just wow. Greatest song on earth. I mean, goosebumps, tears, shock. When you hear that song, sung by that man. Now, some people, we were talking about him yesterday, which is what prompted me to show him today. What some people don't know is that just a few years ago, he was addicted to meth, living on people's couches, homeless, hated Jesus and Christianity and God, tatted up from head to toe, and still had God's grace. Somebody said lump in the throat. That's about right. Tearing up just thinking about it. Because when you listen to his testimony, and then hear the song after. Now, you didn't hear the testimony in that song. You heard a little bit about what he's doing. But when you hear his testimony, and then followed by the song, it prompts you to remember who you were. It prompts you to remember what you did. And it prompts you to feel the way you felt when you answered the door finally. After Jesus has been out there for years, in the rain, in the sleet, in the snow, in the freezing cold, in the winter, in the summer, all seasons, knocking on your door, and you don't answer it because you don't want to. But the minute you opened that door and invited Jesus in for the first time, that is how I feel every single time that I either listen to or think of that song or sing that song. Come, Jesus, come. And I think my favorite part of that song is when all of the music drops out and it's just him singing. And he says, one day he'll come and we'll stand face to face and we'll lay it all down. 'Cause it might be today. Then he says, time is right now. There's no need to wait. Your past will be washed by rivers of grace. And that's exactly what it is. Your past is washed by rivers of grace. That means so much grace, so much mercy, you can't even calculate it. So when you think about how big your problems are, God says, make me bigger. Make me far bigger than your problems, and I will wash away all your iniquities by rivers of grace. Now, if you would have known Stephen McWhirter 6 years ago, 5 years ago, or if you would have known me 9 years ago, you would have said to yourself, those guys have no chance at grace. No chance for salvation. Trust me, you would have said that if you knew me then. Or if you knew him, smoking meth, drinking, being drunk all the time, homeless, hating Jesus. But God has a way of choosing the most unlikely people in the world to accomplish his will. I'd like to read the description of today's show, and then we'll get into prayer, and then we'll get into gospel, okay? Make sure you open up your newsletters. If you follow the newsletter, it's sent out to you this morning. Check all your folders. Make sure you got it, okay? Rise Up, episode number 393, folks, already. 393. Unbelievable. You aren't special. You aren't of noble birth. You aren't among the world's greatness and the world's greatest. You are just a lowly individual. And that is what most people think about themselves, because they listen to Satan without knowing that they're listening to him. Is he right? Or is he wrong? Let's find out as we dig into the gospel and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, today is a very special Godcast. Very special Rise Up today. As I woke up at 3:10 this morning and had a conversation with you, I realized how many people needed to hear this about themselves, about who you chose. Sometimes you choose the foolish, like all of us. And we are so grateful for the rivers of grace that pour over us and our families every day. We are so thankful that even though we are drug addicts, drunkards, lazy, spiteful, mean, hateful individuals, you keep knocking on the door. No matter how much we ignore you, you love us so much. And you know why you created us. And it's not until we allow Jesus in do we get a glimpse of who we were created to be and how far we have fallen short of that, Lord. And we are so, so sorry. We repent of our iniquity. And we thank you for giving us multiple chances to come back to you. We instinctively know, as that song says, that this is not our home, and we know that. But you give us an opportunity to come home. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, your son, whom you sent to bleed and be tortured for what we've done. What an incredible price. A price we probably would not pay ourselves and giving up our sons. But faith that strong can move mountains, and we are so grateful for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse of the day today, folks, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Now, my sister Crystal this morning got her first taste of a Bible app. She sent me a picture this morning, said she started to read again. I asked her which version, because she sent me a picture of the Bible, and she said, King James Version. And I respectively said, I think you should read another version right now. I also don't think you should start in Genesis. I gave her the Bible app, YouVersion, and I said, you can pick any version that you want in there. And I gave her my suggestions for her to be able to read without being bored or not understanding it. It's very difficult for a new Christian. And I also told her, don't start with Genesis. And there's a reason why I told her this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So what I wanted to do is take the Star Wars approach. I wanted her to start in the Gospels so she could know Jesus. Because if you don't know Jesus, then there is no Jesus. And I wanted her to get into a relationship with Jesus, to come through Jesus, and then go back and see Jesus, because you now know him, throughout the entire Old Testament. And you'll see the provisions and the building blocks and the foundations and the plans that God was putting in place through thousands of years of people in order to get to Jesus. And I truly, for me, if I'm suggesting to somebody, and I know it might, I'm not right or wrong here, but if I'm suggesting to somebody, start with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read on. Read Paul. Read everything Paul wrote. Go into Revelations. Then go back and read the prequel. Because only then will you see Jesus throughout the entire Old Testament. If you just go and read the Old Testament without knowing Jesus, it's going to be very difficult, almost impossible for you to understand when David and Isaiah and Abraham and Moses and all of them are referring and referencing Jesus. But once you know Jesus, you see him throughout all the Old Testament. And that's what I encourage people to do. Because you cannot get to the Father without coming through the Son. Hi, bestie. What is it? Besties yet to be? I don't think I've ever seen you in here before. But welcome to the chat. Welcome to the live stream. This is my personal journey with Jesus in public eye for everybody to see. I'm not, if you are new, we really do appreciate you. Let us know that you're new in the chat so that we can shout you out and welcome you the way you should be welcomed into a family, into a community. And if you're new to the to this show or to Walking with Jesus, you definitely need to see two movies, A Case for Christ and An Interview with God. A Case for Christ and An Interview with God. Watch those two movies, read through the New Testament, get to know Jesus, go back, read the Old Testament. I can tell you, in 6 months, your life will be a completely different life. You will start showing the works of the nine fruits of the Spirit without even trying. And you'll be so knowledgeable in the Word of God because you have the Holy Spirit upon you. The Holy Spirit is the one that brings the wisdom to you. That's how God reveals his truth to you through the Holy Spirit, saves you through Jesus, and welcomes you home to him after all that. Understand now? Now you guys understand why there's a three in one. Now you might understand what the Trinity actually means and why there is three in one, but one in three. And yes, Annette, you are right. The Living Waters website and the Living Waters podcast, definitely. All great resources and plans for you to prosper in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to read something for you if I can. Because there's a lot of you out there who feel like I felt when I first came to Christ. And I remember, I still do it today. I remember asking God if he was sure he wanted me. And it brings tears to my eyes thinking about it. Because how dare I ask him that question? I remember sitting in my car, blubbering like a baby, tears streaming down my face, into my mouth, snot, all of it, the whole nine yards. It's not funny, right? That's not a joke. And I remember blubbering like a child, bawling, going, no, you don't want me. And God said, yeah, I do. And I said, no, you don't. Do you even know who I am? Do you even know what I've done? Do you know what goes through this disgusting mind of mine? Through my broken heart? Why would you want anything to do with me? Trust me, for you, you want to stay clear. How many of you did that? How many of you are doing that right now? Tell me. Let it out. I know if I've done it and I felt that way and I do it, I know you do too. I can't be that different. And it's such a humbling experience to admit your iniquities. Unfortunately for us, that's exactly who he wants. I mean, fortunately for us, I should say. Caramore says, that's why he wanted you. That's right. Katia76 says, I did. Lem says, good teaching, Jeremy. SL20 says, been there. Right? Purple Snowflake says, I do it. Nancy says, I did. Look at all the people who did that too, or still do it now. But how dare we assume that the one who created us to be something special, our Father, who's been watching with love and wonder, who breathes life into our lungs every day and gives us everything that we have that is good. Romans 8:28. You think he doesn't know who you are? You think he doesn't know what you've done? You think he doesn't know what thoughts have gone through your head or what abominations have come out of your mouth, over your tongue? You don't think he knows exactly who he's calling to? You think he's confused? You think any part of him goes, now, I don't know everything he's done. Rap sheet doesn't look so good. Diane from Missouri. Have health issues, disabled widow, but love LFA and Rise Up. Not new, just don't comment much. Diane, we're going to be praying for you. We love you so much. We really do. I love seeing people just be truthful and honest in the chat. It's nothing like it. And you can feel it coming through as well. Caramore, I just feel and felt so unworthy. Okay. Well, good. Glad you said that. Because before you say you're unworthy, or before you say I'm not qualified to do anything that God wants me to do, before you even think that, let me read some stuff here for you. Some stuff you've probably seen before. Noah got drunk and was a drunkard. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob lied. Lee was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses was a murderer and had a speech impediment and stuttered and couldn't speak correctly. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. You ever been a prostitute? You ever been a murderer? Have you? Raise your hand if you've been a prostitute or a murderer. I haven't. Although Jesus says if you hate somebody, then you are a murderer in your heart. So maybe we have, but I'm talking about actual murder, taking somebody's life. Anybody a prostitute? Anybody was a murderer? Hmm? Because I haven't been either of those things. Jeremiah and Timothy were far too young. David was a murderer and an adulterer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God and blamed everything on him. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt and lost everything. John the Baptist ate bugs. Peter denied Christ 3 times. The disciples fell asleep while praying, while Jesus asked them not to. Mary Magdalene was possessed by demons. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Paul was a murderer. Timothy had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead and still found rivers of grace. Still don't think you're qualified? Because most of you have never done those things. I want to read something for you. Every single person mentioned and named in the Bible, besides Jesus, Jesus excluded, was broken, was afraid, felt insecure, was fearful, yet God still used them to make and change history. Broken, fearful, insecure, depressed, lonely. God still picked them up, didn't he? He still went and grabbed the person who's tatted from head to toe, who pushes everybody out of their life and thinks they're the only way. And they're the ones that are in control of everything. And how dare you do this, that, and the other? People out there cheating on their wives and husbands. People out there lying. God loves those people so much. He uses crackheads, drunkards, liars, thieves, cheaters. He uses those people. Why? Why? He uses those people because they've been through the worst of the worst. They've hit rock bottom more than once. And when they hit rock bottom, they learn to trust fully in Jesus Christ. And God has a great way of allowing you to be broken down to nothing before he builds you back up in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Yeshua. That is why so many people in prison find God. Everybody makes fun of those people in prison. Oh, what did you find God in prison? Yeah, most people do. And then once those people are lifted up out of the muck and out of the mire and out of their own depression, other people gaze upon them and see the mighty and major transformation. And at first they don't believe it. At second, they accuse him of trying to be a liar. And third, they've got no other choice than to admit that the transformation of that person from fool to favored is real. And by your faith in Jesus, and by you living a life for God, while it won't make you completely stop sinning, it'll make you change so much that your desire to sin will go away, and people will see that. People will see that ex-crackhead who's all tatted up, who hurt people, who abused people his whole life, who was narcissistic and rude. And they see the transformation in him, and sooner or later, they can have no doubts in their mind. They can. There's no argument that they can have. It's pretty incredible. Now, I want to go to the verse of the day today. Please open up your Bibles or the verse of the day. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:26. 1 Corinthians 1:26. It's in the New Testament. I'll let you get there. And I'm reading so many of your great comments, guys. I love them. What a great morning. 1 Corinthians 1:26. And I'm going to pull it up on the screen for those who do not have their Bibles or their apps handy. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the verse, we're not talking about heavenly wisdom here. We're not talking about foolish people like myself who God chose in order to shame the heavenly wise. Let's go back to the beginning of the verse here and get context. It says, "For consider your calling. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards." And then continues, not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise according to worldly standards. Very important that you read beginning, middle, and end so you can put these verses into context. Because some people might say, well, why would God choose foolish people to tame the wise when wisdom comes from God? It's not talking about heavenly wisdom from God here. It's talking about worldly wisdom that falls away, which is finite, which crumbles, which has no power. That's what it's talking about. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world. That's you and me. That's Stephen McWhirter. That's people like Brian from Korn, who left the band and went and followed Jesus and got crucified for it in the media and in the music business years ago. God chose what is low and despised in the world. Like the meek shall inherit the earth, right? Despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And the only thing that you should boast about isn't how good you are, isn't how hot you are, isn't how strong you are, isn't how smart you are, isn't how wise you are. What you need to boast about is thank God he made me the way I am. Thank God he gave me the skills, the abilities, the knowledge, the wisdom, the physicality. I didn't do anything to create them. I can't make a finger. I can't make an eyeball. I can't make a nose hair. I didn't do any of what I am. I didn't choose the color of my eyes. I didn't choose a beard, whether it grows or doesn't grow. I didn't choose my natural skills and abilities. I didn't do that. I didn't get born and go, I think I'm going to have this, and this. You need to embrace who you are. You need to embrace what God gave you and what he didn't give you. And you need to seek Jesus. Then you can boast all you want, but not about you. You can't make a finger. You can barely make a fart. Little joke there. But that's true. So don't boast about you. You didn't do anything except for choose to follow Jesus. That's what you can boast about. And even in doing so, you still have to give credit to God because he's the one who showed you the way. See what I'm saying? So was Satan right when he tells you that you aren't special and that you're lowly and that you're nothing here on earth? Yes, he is right. But you're going to break those shackles because you are not of earth. This is not your home. Stephen McWhirter said that in the song. This is not your home. And you instinctively know this is not your home. Your home is in heaven. You are occupying this body. Your soul is occupying this body right now. To learn how to walk like Jesus. You have to learn how to walk in order to become a young kid. You have to learn to become a teenager. You have to learn in your teenage years to become an adult. You have to learn in your adult years to have children and become a child and become a parent. You have to learn how to let your children go and become individuals again. You have to learn how to accept the fact that you're getting old. And you have to learn how to walk like Jesus before you leave this earth. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. And nobody is exempt from that. Everybody has the opportunity. It's up to you to embrace who God made you to be and what God gave you to do, what God gave you in abilities in order to do what he wanted you to do when he gave you a body. It's that simple, folks. It doesn't need to have some kind of century-long study to find out why we're here and who we are and what we're here to do. And anybody who thinks that we crawled out of the ocean with no arms, no legs, and we were some squishy amoeba, and we decided to pop out arms, legs, thumbs, and brains, that's just fantasy. Fantasy. And ridiculous. It's also ridiculous to think God only cares for the prim and the proper. As a matter of fact, it's the other way around. He cares more for the ones that are broken and hurting, crying out, even if they don't know it. What did Jesus do? Ate with sinners and adulterers and liars and fornicators. And there was a lot of people who didn't like that. A lot of people who didn't like that. So, who wants to watch some Bryce Crawford? Get my headphones on here. This young man has got a gift from God, and that gift is to be able to talk to people. So let's go ahead and play this video from Bryce Crawford now. Get my headphones on here. Ooh, that's not what you want. Okay, here we go.
Guy sitting next to you, I'm Bryce. So nice to meet you, Miss Jackie. Thanks for talking with us. I'm just so interested in and like what you do, because
nice to meet you.
We're Christian, and I noticed that like you do these this healing stuff, is that right?
Yeah.
But I noticed that you had a Bible open.
I do.
And so I was just curious as to like what your views were on that.
I'm not more of a Christian than I am other things, so mostly I'm a Buddhist and a voodooist.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
But I am reading the New Testament, and I was raised in Christianity.
Okay.
I'm not spreading the word of God in the sense that I'm spreading the word of Christianity per se, but what I'm trying to refocus on is a path forward in climate crisis. Instead of thinking about the Son in terms of the begotten Son that is Jesus Christ, right? I'm trying to refocus on the actual solar body.
Okay, interesting.
Sun. Yeah, because it's a real feasible path forward.
The Sun is your source of power, correct?
Yeah.
So you're like the Sun.
That's definitely what I want to refocus people on. I'm actually spreading the message exactly of the prophecy song, which is an Ojibwe song about, it's really about the criminalization of sacred tobacco, but it's an appeal to the Sun, and it is a way to bring the Sun out.
Interesting. And so you said, it was so interesting because you were like, I was raised Christian, but you're like, I'm more of a Buddhist and a voodooist, is that correct, than a Christian? But you're kind of mixing them together.
I'm coming back into it from these other paths.
And so what drew you to Buddhism and voodooism? Can you explain? I know a lot about Buddhism. Voodooism, I don't know much about that.
Yeah,
so can you explain how you got into that?
I got into Buddhism because I dated some people who were into Buddhism. I saw the benefits of using a focus on breath and a attempt to kind of detach, right? I moved to New Orleans about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And while I was down there, I became involved in like the practice of voodoo ritual, but particularly as regards a way to interact with your ancestors, because that's exactly what voodoo is. It's like a way to interact with your ancestors.
Okay.
So when you think about the, you know, transatlantic slave trade, when you think about the disconnection that was a result of that, you can see how these East African traditions, right, are used to negotiate that trauma, that generational harm that came out of slavery. And there are different rituals, and there are different practices, and there are different belief systems, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to meld anything together, but they're also the same thing in a certain way.
Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
That's so interesting. There was a few things I was so interested that you shared, because one thing I noticed is you were like with the solar energy and like harnessing it to, you were like, it's a way to cope with the trauma of the world and like the things like that. Are those crystals in your hand that those are?
These are some rocks. This is a magic rock, a crystal, if you will, that a friend of mine bestowed upon me. But these ones are actually given to me by a young indigenous person who stopped by earlier.
And when you grip those and you hold those, what do those do for you?
I would say that they channel the power.
Okay.
That's a part of this.
Idolatry.
Thanks for sharing all that. I'm so intrigued. When you were talking about the trauma of the world and things like that, I was like, I raised Christian, but then I got really angry at God because of I was having so many issues in my life. I grew up in the South. I'm from Georgia.
I didn't grow up there, but I was in New Orleans.
Oh, come on.
6 years.
When I was in Georgia, I was in Waffle House.
All right.
And I had this encounter with Jesus.
Okay.
And so I remember I'd put my trust in so many different things, and they had all let me down.
Right.
So I was like, man, Jesus, like if you're real and you show up in my life, just don't let me down like the rest of these things. And so I was just intrigued when you were saying like I bring in a little bit of Christianity and voodooism and Buddhism, because one of the first verses I read after I had this encounter was where Jesus says like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's like Jesus is this bridge to God, and he's like, I'm the only way. And so when I read that, I'm like, man, like Jesus, I can have access to God, and this source who would be the source of my life be God, and Jesus becomes this bridge for me. And so I was just interested in what you think about that, because I know you're like, oh, these rocks are a source for me, and even the solar energy, you're like, it's a source, I'm harnessing it in. And now you're reading the New Testament, which I love, like 1 Peter's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So like, what do you think about that when Jesus is like, I'm the way?
I mean, he knows he's the Son of God, and he knows he's been charged with this, you know, work, right?
Yeah.
So I think these ideas are all connected, and I think this particularly, this image, this symbol of the Marasa, this Bebe is what it's called in voodoo, is that
Remember, he doesn't have to prove her wrong.
Yeah. You know,
he just has to plant seeds.
One thing I really respect about you is you're like, your curiosity has allowed you to dig into multiple things. You're like, I'm looking at the Bible, I'm looking at Buddhism, I'm looking at that.
She's
and I just
seeking.
Remember like myself, when I was in a place like, I actually had no curiosity, I just had anger. And so I actually didn't look to anything. I was looking to the things that were in the world. And every time I would go to them for like my source of life, because I was so angry at God, but they would let me down.
Yeah.
But I didn't know where else to go. So I kept going back to them, even though they let me down. And so one thing I wanted to encourage you and comfort you with, Miss Jackie, is when Jesus gives the greatest commandment, he says, he's talking about righteousness, right? These Pharisees are like, they had to follow 613 laws to be righteous. And if they messed up one, they had to sacrifice an animal. And they go, what's the greatest commandment? They're trying to trip Jesus up. And he goes, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. And I love that passage because I was like, man, even though I thought I knew God because I was young, I wasn't loving him all the way. I was loving him with maybe 5% of myself, and then I was trying to give a little bit of myself here and here and here, and I never got to experience the full freedom of Jesus because I was trying to give myself to multiple different things. And I just think it's so cool that you're reading the New Testament, because I think Jesus, the Prince of Peace, is going to surpass all understanding, and I really think he's going to bring some peace into your life on this quest. And
well, thank you.
And we just wanted to sow seed and bless
you,
because
so much.
I know we're just like, Jesus is the source of everything in our life, and I know he's not just in yours, but we just wanted to sow seed in you because we really love you, and Jesus loves you so much.
Yeah, thank you so
Miss Jackie.
Yeah,
bless you so much. One thing that I was so interested in that she said was she talks about how she got into voodooism, and that's just witchcraft in New Orleans. If you guys don't know, we're going to New Orleans in like a week and a half, and we're going to be street preaching and Mardi Gras, sharing Jesus, loving on people. But voodooism and witchcraft is really popular down there, so that's going to be really interesting. I think that was a great conversation, and we planted seed, we sowed seed, and we sow seed, we plant seed, we water seed. And listen, at the end of the day, like, we can't be mad at her for being on a search, because she's on a quest for love. She's trying multiple different things.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so interesting that she had her Bible out there, and she was like reading the New Testament. She's like, yeah, I haven't read the Gospels in a long time. I'm going to do it. So that was really interesting. Yeah, she was so sweet and really kind. And yeah, it was awesome.
And if you want to help Bryce on his street preaching, you can always follow his YouTube page, and I'm sure he's got a website as well. But what a great approach. Listening, planting seeds, not trying to save, because you can't. I can't save you. You can't save somebody else. But you can plant seeds, and you can help guide. You can hold somebody's hand and let them walk with you. You can do that. But you can't save them. And I guarantee you, that kid made her think. Guaranteed. I want to read a couple things before we leave here. Merciful God, my heart cries out within me, yet my voice fails. Darkness seems to surround me, and the light feels as though it has fled from me. I need you in this dark hour, but you seem so far away. Remind me of your promises, and let your Holy Spirit show your strength to lift my soul from gloom and darkness and restore me to the joy I once had in my life. How long, Lord, must I wait? You are patient and you are kind in your ways. You do not forget me here. May I exult again in the miracle of your deliverance and your restoration. Fill me with the light of your good news. I will live, and my eyes will be filled with the light of your presence all the days of my life. Folks, just because you occupy this body does not mean you are alive. And just because your body occupies a casket does not mean you're dead. Your body is not alive. Your body is being occupied, and the source of your body's energy and ability to speak, smell, taste, see, touch comes from your soul, which God gives you. And once the Holy Spirit is allowed in to occupy your vessel with your soul, it is operating on a heavenly frequency that 99.9% of the people that you encounter in a day are not operating on. Show it. Act like it. Live like it. If you are alive in the spirit, then death will not scare you. Obviously, none of us want to die because this is all we know until we know Jesus. Once you know Jesus, you know a lot more. And you're okay with passing on from this life to the next. Again, your mother and father didn't make you. They can't make a finger. God made you. And God used your mom to bring you to this earth. And you are here for a reason. No matter how drunk you are, no matter how stoned you are, no matter how mean you are, no matter how many people that you are sleeping with that you know you shouldn't be, you are here for a reason. Come, Jesus, come, right? And we'll finish out with that song here today. Come, Jesus, come. Put my headphones on, and we'll sing it with you again because you know how it is. It's my favorite song. So let's get back to it, shall we?
Spirit of matter. You stop.
Come on, there.
You are now God. There's no more sun. You're the light. It's you, only you, Jesus. We want this, and we cry out with heaven, with all the saints, with the angels, and we say, come, Jesus, come.
And feel free to sing
sometimes
it on your way out.
Sometimes I fall to my knees and pray. Come, Jesus, come. Today be the day. Sometimes I feel like I'm gonna break, but I'm holding on
to a hope that won't fade. Come on.
To a hope that won't fade. And come, Jesus, come. We've been waiting so long for the day you return and heal every hurt and right every wrong. There'll be no